This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to the Eat Like Ruby podcast. I am back in studio today with a guest, which is super exciting. Today's guest is Lily Turton. Welcome, Lily.
Thank you for having me on the show, Ruby.
Did I say that correctly, Lily Turton?
I think so. Sometimes I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Shit, great start to the body. Lily does not know how to pronounce her own name, but we'll see where this goes. So Lily is here today in studio because I thought it'd be cool to get Lily in because we actually met last year, towards the end of last year, in Byron. And first of all, like, just a vibe, just a good time. So I thought, let's get her on the potty.
Cheers.
Welcome, Lily. But also, Lily's got quite a cool story. I think your health and fitness journey is really cool when we dig into it. And I think that's a cool thing in itself. Like, I met you and I was just like, she's a good time, happy-go-lucky, good vibe, all these things. And then the more I've, like, got to know your story, I'm like, this is actually a really cool story. Like, I didn't know this about you when I first met you. Do you want to just tell the listeners, first of all, who you are?
Well, hello, guys. I'm Lily Turton. Essentially, I have a little health and fitness page on Instagram and TikTok.
Give it a plug if you want, straight away.
Oh, just Lily Turton with two N's at the end. But no, I create health and fitness content. I am still at university studying business and communications. Yeah, there's not really much to me. To be honest,
I feel like the Plain more we Jane. Get into this, you're going to be like, there's actually a lot to me.
Yeah, peel back the onion layers.
Yeah, literally. One thing about Lily, and we're going to obviously get into it today, is you've had a bit of a history with, would you say, eating disorder? Like, what would you sort of call it?
Yes, I've definitely had eating disorder tendencies, which did eventually turn into an eating disorder.
Yep. One reason that I wanted to get Lily on to speak about this is obviously, like, we speak so much about nutrition on the podcast, but we don't speak too much about this. And I think it's even an interesting point to start with, is a lot of people might be in that position where they do either have an eating disorder or, like you said, just the tendencies, and there's some underlying things there. And I think a lot of people just view nutrition coaching or, you know, online coaching as one thing, like, this coach could help me with anything. And I think it's, like, something really interesting to point out is, like, I've obviously studied sports nutrition, which is very different to a person with an eating disorder. It's something I'm so aware of in my business, because if a person came to me really in that position, like, really emotionally struggling, it's quite a difficult situation because you've got a person having quite a tough time. But I would never turn around and tell that person I can help them, because it's actually not what I can do. And I would hate to take someone's money, take someone's time, get their hopes up, get them to put energy into something that is actually really not what I do. And I think it's a really important message to put out there, because we all obviously follow online coaches and foodie pages and training pages, and everyone's going to have their thing. And I think it's really important to be aware of that. Like I said, I've literally studied sports nutrition, which is, like, the, like, in-depth science of, like, how carbohydrates are metabolized in the body. Like, it's actually nothing to do with a person that might be struggling with binge eating or something. So I always just like to point that out to people. And I know so many people in the industry that coach people on different things, and there's so much help that these people can get. But I more wanted to bring you in today. Like I said, I don't coach on this and I don't speak about it a lot. So I thought it would just be a cool convo to mix up the podcast a bit. And for me, it's not so much teaching people about this today. It's more just, like, hearing about it.
Yeah. And I even think, like, the awareness piece, like, there is a little bit of a lack of awareness around eating disorders, because, like, personally, I would consider myself fairly educated around nutrition. Like, I was studying a Cert 4 in nutrition, and I've always kind of just been very interested in nutrition from a young age. So, like, I absolutely know, like, the concept of losing weight is literally calories in versus calories out, but actually executing that is a completely different ball game. And especially for someone with an eating disorder or eating disorder tendencies, like, it is so psychological.
Yeah.
It's so hard to explain for people who haven't been through it or don't know someone who's been through it, because you're like, oh, well, like, come on, it's just food. Like, it should be simple. Like, you know, just eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full. But yeah. if it was that easy, we would all be like super fit, lean, like,
yeah,
like the whole population. We wouldn't have like this epidemic of morbid obesity and everything, like the chronic diseases. Like,
yeah,
it really just is, I would say, probably still a taboo topic.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, because if usually when a person is going through something like that, there is a level of shame, and that's not to say that they should feel shame, like we don't want them to feel that, but for most people that just comes with it. So then, like you said, no one's really publicly out there saying, hey, I'm struggling with this thing. Like, it's quite a hard thing for people to admit, first of all, and then bring up to someone and seek the help and whatever. And I think that's even where there's a little bit of an issue with the online coaching space, is because I think it kind of goes two ways, is like people that are maybe the client or the person that's struggling with that just sees like all these fun foodie pages and the results and all these things, and they're like, oh, well, this person can get that for me. And I think equally there are some coaches out there, and probably not in a bad way, but coaches that are trying to build their business and wanting to help people. And so they're like, you know, if somebody in that position came along, they're like, oh yeah, okay, let's give it a go. And really, that's not your niche. That's not what you've studied. You don't truly know how to help that person. And I think there can be a big disconnect there, where clients are getting their hopes up that they're going to get a certain level of help, and they'll suddenly just, like you said, it'll just be your food so simple for me now. And like I said, coaches are probably taking on work that is actually quite outside of their scope and their skill set. And it can become quite a tricky thing. And then even when we think about that, if a person was feeling shame and they were struggling with something, and then they go through that process of thinking that, oh my God, I found the help, I'm going to get the help, here's my solution, and it doesn't actually work out that way, then they're probably going to feel even worse.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like there's definitely like levels to, like, you know, the relationship with food that you're going through. And for some nutritionists, it's like, you know, you will be able to help some clients that are struggling with food, yep, because like theirs is like, okay, if you implement these couple of mindset tips, it'll change their whole perspective. But then some, yep, people who are struggling a bit more, like that's not going to do it. And like someone who, coming from my perspective, who's been through it, it's like the first person I saw who was a psychologist, you know, I was seeing her and I was kind of like, well, like, why isn't it like, you know, why am I improving as much? But then when I started seeing this new dietitian, like the game changed.
Yeah.
So
wow.
It's like, yeah. It's funny, because sometimes it's just the way some people can word it and the support that you feel from some people, it just makes a completely different, like it just makes such a big difference. And you know, what works for one person isn't going to necessarily work for another. Like for something like an eating disorder, it is so individualized, because, yeah, you know, we've all been through such different things. So how can you expect the solution to be the exact same for everyone?
Yeah. My God, that is all so true. Yeah. And I think I see in Eat Like Ruby, and it's probably just something that comes with time and experience as a coach. Like you said, some people might just have some shitty tendencies and a little bit of a bad mindset, and something as simple as like flexible dieting can actually change the game for them. But then, like you said, it depends how far along or how deep they are in that, where, like we said, if it is just flexible dieting, for some people it's not that simple. It's like there's actually a way bigger underlying thing here. And I think as a coach, like I've been coaching a long time, so you can see it quite early on. Like if I speak to someone quite early on, I'll be like, I think simple things are really going to help you, or I actually don't think food is the big thing here. I think there's underlying things that need to be looked at first. So I think it is such a tricky thing. I don't think anyone's got the answer, but I would love to like hear about your journey. Where did it start? What happened?
I'm like, do you want the long version or the short version? How far back should I go? If I'm going to go way back, essentially, like I grew up being super active. Like,
yep,
I have done exercise forever. Like typical Sunshine, I've always been on the Sunshine Coast. Parents put you on every sport. Hopefully you're good at one. So luckily enough, I was all right at surf lifesaving and aerobic gymnastics. So grew up doing them competitively. And do you remember that sugar film?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that was the first time that I was actually really intrigued by food, because, you know, I was really fortunate that mum always prioritized healthy foods and fueling us, and she didn't even know what calories were.
Yeah.
So really great relationship with food. But then when I watched that film, it really emphasized to me the importance of the quality of food that you're eating. So it wasn't toxic or anything like that. It was just like me being like, okay, wow, if I eat a certain way, I'll actually live longer and I won't get these diseases. And like, you know, the teeth stuff from the, what that drink, did you yeah. remember that part in the doco? I was like, I do not want that happening to me. I'm not drinking soft drink. So that's kind of like where that kind of began, and from that moment forward, so I would have been like, that was 2015, so I was like 13 or 14.
How old are you now?
I'm 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but it is kind of interesting to look back and be like, oh, wow, like I was that kind of conscious of what I was consuming at that age.
Yeah.
Like I would consider that fairly young.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, then from that moment forward, I was quite conscious of what I was eating and consuming. But then it kind of went to the other end of the spectrum and I'd only eat clean foods, but I'd be making raw treats like every day and eating the entire thing. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, like it's very nutritionally dense.
Yeah.
With all the nuts and stuff, which then kind of led to purging because I was so full. Then 2019, went on a school trip to Italy and then...
Oh, wow. As you do.
Just throw that in.
Yeah.
But that kind of actually changed my relationship with food because you were over there and you didn't get to choose what you ate. I had 24 pizzas in 24 days. So you kind of get a bit sick of the same food every day. And then coming back to it being locked down, because I was just at home and like you could just eat whatever you wanted any time of the day. Like it was just – food was so accessible. I kind of developed a really great relationship with food that I wasn't – overeating any foods. So I actually ended up getting quite petite and probably the leanest I've ever been in 2020.
How random, because for most people lockdown went the other way.
Yes, it was the opposite.
We all step out and we're like, shit, Lily's skinny.
I know. I was like, interesting. Well, because I was so bored. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go for a run middle of the day. I can't wait to do maths. So yes, and because like, you know, you're at home, so you had the time to make meals.
Yeah.
I was tracking calories then, but everything that I was eating was just really nutritionally dense, like just like lots of big salads and everything like that. It probably did become a little bit restrictive. Oh, actually, I don't even think it did. But then for like that, like 2020, 2021, really good. But then 2022, I kind of spiraled. Like I got to the heaviest weight I had ever gotten to, was really just kind of using food to fill like a void. And this is probably the first time I've actually like actually openly admitted it. Like I think it was probably a combination of like loneliness and like stress, despite the fact that, you know, I have fabulous friends and family and everything like that, but just like internally.
Yeah.
Which is actually why I kind of transitioned my health and fitness page, because I didn't want to be known as Lily Turton Fit, because, you know, when I'd see people out and like back in school, everyone would be like, oh my God, Lily Turton Fit, just as a joke. But to me, in like my head, I was like, oh, well, you can't not look fit and have that kind of name.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't want to post health and fitness content.
So were you feeling like, were you feeling quite shitty about that? Like, oh, I was yeah. Lily Turton Fit and I don't look fit right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, especially doing like surf life saving, you're just in togs.
Yeah.
Like you're just on the beach, which was kind of sad because I finished up surf life saving 2022, like start of the year, like after Aussies, and then I kind of like started putting weight on, but then I was like, oh, I can't go back to training because I've put on weight. Like that was my mindset towards it, and it's interesting that I had that mindset, because I would like to think I've always preached on my socials like people don't value you for what you look like. They care about how kind you are, how funny you are, the type of person you are, not what you look like. But for me, I was like, oh no, it matters what you look like.
Yeah,
but it's like you wouldn't tell your best friend that. So why yeah,
that's
that?
So funny. It's funny, like, because we talk so much on the podcast about scale weight, and I think we see people get so fixated on scale weight, and you know, there's always that message of like, all shapes and sizes are beautiful, and I feel like there's this thing where it's like, all shapes and sizes are beautiful, except me. I have to be as light as possible.
Yes.
If yep. I've put on 200 grams, I'm fucked. But my friend over there that's put on 10 kilos, she's fine. She's
yeah,
beautiful.
I love her. Yep.
Yeah, she's beautiful. I don't care what she weighs. But also, I went up 100 grams last night, and my day is ruined.
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy.
It is just so funny. And I feel like, you know, you're always going to be your own worst critic, like at the end of the day. But then for me, so I started seeing a psychologist, then a nutritionist. Shout out to Clean Queens, Abby from there. She, oh, I love that girl. she was my dietitian, and I couldn't recommend her enough. Like, just yes. absolutely incredible. Because, yeah, it was actually my 20th birthday last October, and I was like really struggling up until that point. And I remember on my birthday, I literally went to Woolies and I was like, oh, it's my birthday. I got a family size block of caramel and a jar of Biscoff. And I went home and I literally ate that within like 10 minutes. And that was the only time I had ever said to myself, like I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, I think I want to go on medication.
Yeah, wow.
And like I had been like, I remember my, I think my psychologist asked if I ever wanted to do that. And I have always been someone who's like, no, never. Like that is, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no, this is something that needs to be fixed internally. Like I can do this. But then it's interesting because then I went away for a weekend with my girlfriends to Byron, and then I came back, and from that moment, like a flick just switched. And like from then on, you know, obviously it's progress is never linear in regards to an eating disorder, but like I have like come leaps and bounds, like especially yeah. like here, like the past 3 months, different person.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I feel like there's so many things in this.
So many bases.
Yeah. So when would you say you were sort of at like your leanest, lightest, fittest? Like
I would probably say...
Coming out of lockdown, was that?
Well, coming down of lockdown was... Was it like October of 2020? Because I know I had formal and my birthday in the same week.
Yep.
So obviously I was like, oh, I want to look at my like super fit. Yep. Like any girl does going into that moment. So I would probably assume that time. And it's funny because I look back on photos and even photos that I've posted from then, some of my friends are like, oh my God, you were like so skinny and we didn't even realize. Because you don't really see it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So then end of 2020. And then what do you feel like was the thing? Like, I know you said like stress and loneliness. Like, do you feel like you just one day were like your habits just changed? Like, what do you think happened to go from that person to then you said like you were your heaviest or whatever? Like, what was happening?
I think it's a combination of like obviously working on things internally, just like getting down to the nitty gritty of being honest with yourself. Like, okay, why am I doing this? Like, what void am I trying to fill?
Yeah.
But also shifting your external environment.
Yeah.
Like, who are you surrounding yourself with? Because, you know, at the end of the day, it is your responsibility. You are your own responsibility, but it sure does help when you've got people around you who are, you know, just super positive or just like, you know, just great people in general.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously working with dietitian, like from that point of view, like those types of tricks and tips, like I don't work with abs anymore, but just having those tools like yeah. mentally, like, oh, okay, if this is happening, why is this happening? Or you can do this, like all those types of things.
Yeah, for sure. And when you got to that point of sort of having put on weight or feeling like you know, you were probably at your
heaviest,
worst point, like mentally, physically, whatever it was, did anyone say anything? Like, were there people that were like, wait, what's going on, Lil? Or like from a good way or a bad way, like family or friends or anything?
My mum and I are super close. Like I would consider my mum my best friend. So like she like kind of knows everything that's going on. And like, I don't think anyone actually ever said like commented on my weight.
Yeah.
Like, no. But I think because, you know, you obviously overhear other people talking about other people's weight that intrinsically you're thinking, oh, well, they're probably going to comment around my weight behind my back.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the thoughts that was going on. But it's interesting because like there was someone in my life who like when I was kind of going through it, they were like, oh, like, you know, I thought you were stronger than this.
Wow.
And like, I think I probably just interpreted that from like the worst possible perspective that they were coming from, and they might've meant it in a different way, but that was just how I interpreted it. And it really just goes to show, like, I have always considered myself fairly disciplined because like, you know, being a competitive athlete, you have to be like, not most 13-year-olds are getting up at 5 a.m. to go to swimming.
Yeah.
Or like training late till night. So like that's one thing that kind of does frustrate me when people think eating disorders are just like a lack of discipline.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's a lot more like that. Like when I was in like the depths of like I would say eating disorder, it was so weird. It was like a euphoric feeling. Like,
yeah, I've heard people speak about this, especially with like binge eating or something. Mm. Like, for lack of a better term, like you almost black out, and then you sort of come to and you're like, did I just do that? Like, was I doing that? What the fuck was I just thinking?
It's as if someone has literally come into your body. Like, it's quite scary.
Yeah.
Like, it probably sounds ridiculous to some people, but it is actually scary. But I think what I've come to realize is it's just like compounding habits that built to that, whether from that moment forward, it's like, okay, if each binge just gets less and less and less and less, then eventually it'll be okay.
Yep.
And it's like trying to deal with those emotions other ways than with food.
And I think that's even one little side note to make. And I've spoke to this before in a few like videos or private calls and things like that. I think that term binge eating started to get thrown around a bit too much, where people would just like go out for tea and be like, oh, I binged on the weekend. And it's like, you went out for tea and you ate more than you planned, or you might have felt a bit full, or, you know, you then went home and had an ice cream that you weren't planning on having. But there's a very big difference between sort of overeating and even feeling a bit crappy about it versus an actual binge where you're like we said, it's almost like a blackout. You don't know what's going on. There's absolutely no control. And one thing I've seen, like I've done a few podcasts and stuff with a few binge eating coaches, like just to, you know, get in that world and talk about it a bit more. One thing I've seen be really common with a binge eating thing is like, let's say you did go out and you had a pizza and you weren't planning on having it. Then you go home and have ice cream. And then you're like biscuits, chocolate, pieces of bread, cheese. It's like the most random. It's like literally, what the fuck can I eat next? As opposed to, like we said, maybe just having a few more pieces of pizza than you were planning on having. Like, it's a very different thing to just overeat or eat things you weren't planning on eating versus actual binge eating is a whole nother thing.
And it's very interesting because you will just naturally go for whatever is like the most calorically dense, because, you know, obviously your brain is just like, okay, we need food because we need to survive. Like, it comes back to like the coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And like, this is another side note to like, everyone's journey is completely different, because I remember I was doing exposure therapy, which, if for the listeners who don't know, it's kind of like, for example, my kind of food that I'm obsessed with, like I just love chocolate.
Yeah.
So my dietitian was like, okay, so if you can just keep 5 blocks of chocolate in the house, you can have as many as you want. Like, this is like full big blocks. You know, the first time you do it, you might have all blocks in the house. Like, you might eat all of them. I think it was like 2 weeks. Every single day I went out and bought them and I ate all 5.
Oh my God.
I'm not kidding. Like, that was the deepest, like, that's how bad it got. But so that didn't work for me. So then from that moment forward, I took a different route. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna have, you know, like the 45 gram kind of,
yeah, like a ones. Bar.
Yes, yeah, like, yeah, the little bars. I'll just have one of them each day. Like, so then, you know, psychologically, and my body knows, okay, you're gonna have chocolate every day, but this is like just how much you're gonna have. And it's really interesting, because when you actually just like put it down and you eat mindfully, that small little block honestly feels like a big block, because you're actually being very conscious of what you're consuming, not just mindfully eating and eating at the TV and everything like that. Yeah, everyone's journey is so different, because a lot of people, like, that would work for most people, because they'd, you know, the idea is eventually you're
like, oh, like the novelty wears off.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That didn't happen for me.
No, and that's so interesting. And even that in itself kind of just backs up our point. Like, for some people, they might have some chocolate in the house and then they're like, fuck, I ate a bit more than that than I planned. If someone's eating 5 blocks of chocolate a day, like, that's a whole nother level. Like, and I say that with all due respect to you, but no, that's absolutely what we want to point out to people is, you know, sometimes people eat a couple extra biscuits and they're like, I'm terrible, I'm a binge eater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, no, like, there's actually a whole nother world to this.
Yes. And like, for example, now it's like, it's crazy to think that now there can be a block of chocolate in the house and it's like, okay, I can go and have 4 pieces or 2 pieces. Like, just want to say to the listeners, like, it does get better.
And that's why I wanted to get you here, because it's absolutely not something that I've experienced. And like I said, I don't coach or not, I don't work with it. So I'm sitting here like a listener, just being like, fuck, tell me more, Lily, because it's a whole new world to me. And I think it's cool to hear from you. Like, it's really cool.
And I think, like, one of the most important things is, and I know that this quote is like pretty cheesy, but it's like, you will never fail until you give up.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to be beaten by it until you just say, oh, well, you know,
this is how I am.
Yeah. It's like, once again, it comes back to choice. Like, you get to choose, okay, you know what? I might have stuffed up today, or not even stuffed up, but it might not have gone to quote unquote plan, but I'm going to try and improve tomorrow. Or like, oh, maybe this was actually better than what it was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's like always just trying to look for some positive, because even when it comes to binge eating, it's like, although it is shit, like, I'm not going to deny that, it is really horrible, there is always going to be some positive in it. Like, you are doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, that might be to fill a void of boredom or loneliness or whatever it is, but you're actually, there is some positive to it. So it's just recognizing that as well and then trying to fill that void with something else. Or like, yeah. Not with something else, but, you know, trying to overcome it and just progress.
Like work out what that is and how do you, like you said, fill that in another way.
Yeah, like a more positive way, I guess you could probably say.
Yeah. It's such a credit to you to think you're sitting here at like 20 years old, having been through that and then, yeah, being like, you can get yourself through it. I did X, Y, Z. Even to be in a position of like trying the exposure therapy, being like, fuck, I've actually just eaten 5 blocks of chocolate every day for 2 weeks, but I'm not going to give up on myself. Like I actually am going to keep trying whatever they tell me to do next. Like a lot of people coming back to, you know, this is the way I am. A lot of people after that would be like, okay, this is the way I am.
Yes.
Like this is something else and I can't, you know, I can't be helped.
But like even people fill that void in like so many different ways. Like that is why a lot of people do binge drink on the weekends.
Yeah.
They smoke, they vape. Like at the end of the day, you really don't know what anyone is going through.
Yeah.
So I think it is just so important to always try to maintain the most positive interpretation of everyone because you have no idea what is happening behind closed doors.
Yeah. What made you, like obviously you weren't feeling great and things were going on. Like what was it that made you reach out to the psychologist and the dietitian? Like had you seen them previously for other things or were you really deep in this and then you're like, okay, fuck, I need help?
So like I had never suffered with mental health or anything like that. Very fortunate in that regard. So it was definitely just like one night I had binged and I'd purged and I just remember looking at my brother and I was like this isn't normal.
Yeah.
Like up until that point I was like, oh, like it's just, you know, I just overate.
Yeah.
Everyone does it. I just, like, I actually did not register that purging after overeating wasn't normal.
Yeah.
Which is so bizarre to say out loud. But yeah, I just didn't realize that. And it's funny because I remember there was definitely a stage in training where I would overeat an afternoon tea and then some of it would come up at training. And I remember my coach, I actually had a nickname, Chucky. It's funny in hindsight, but like at the time, probably
yeah.
A bit concerning, but he thought I was just training so hard that like it was causing me to vomit.
Wow.
But yeah, behind closed doors, it was another story.
Yeah. Wow. Did like your family or anyone know that you were binging, purging? Like were they aware of any of these habits or was it like a real behind closed doors thing?
Like, obviously, you try to keep it behind closed doors because it is something that...
Yeah, like it is that kind of shame thing, like we said. Yeah.
Yes. Although I do remember, like, when I was... Must have been, like, 16 or 17. I did purge and one of my girlfriends was, like kind of watched. It was, like, it wasn't, like, full vomit, but, like, a bit of a purge. And she was, like, oh, like, I can never watch people vomit, but when you do it, it's so interesting.
What?
How crazy.
How random.
I don't even know what to think. And like it's just so funny because she probably doesn't remember it all, but like I have never forgotten that. Like
yeah, like those things that just stick with you, hey, and you're like, fuck, that was a big pivotal thing when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like I'm almost normalizing vomiting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wow. Crazy times.
And so when you had that sort of moment when you had binged and whatever, and then you're like, okay, I think I need help. Were you like hesitant to go to a psychologist, to go to a dietitian? Were you actually was there shame to be like, I need to go here and tell this person what I'm doing and I feel like shit about it? Like,
no, honestly, no shame at all. Like I feel as though you can probably tell I'm quite an open and honest person. Sorry, it was kind of just like that was like when I became aware that I needed the help, but I was happy to go and get it. But it was actually really interesting because when I was researching for different places to go to and then I called up this place and I wanted to go see them, they said it was going to be 12 weeks until I could get in.
Wow.
And I was like, thinking to myself, no, but like I need the help now, like now. And I actually politely asked the lady on the phone. I was like, hey, like I'm just wondering, like I've heard that they've pumped a lot more money into mental health, like why it's so difficult to get in. And she was saying and explaining to me that because they pump so much more money into it, more people are utilizing it.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense. But it's like, that's kind of why there has been definitely been times on my social media where I've tried to like explain a few tricks and tips, because I'm like, a lot of people don't have access to help because it's expensive. It's difficult to get into. But then it's also for me, like, okay, finding the fine line of like, I'm not a psychologist, but like, here's what worked for me. But then it's like the whole thing of like, this worked for me.
Yeah, like, for sure.
But like, and you still each can.
And almost coming back to what I said before, like people then getting their hopes up, being like, oh, fuck, Lily said do this.
So that's going to work for me. But like we've discussed, like no one's the same.
Yeah, wow. And did you open up to people and say like, hey, this is what I'm going through. I'm going to go and seek mental health assistance or whatever. Like, did you tell your family? Did you tell friends? Or did you really do it on your own? Like,
no, I definitely told like my close friends and most of my family.
Yep.
Yeah.
And were people like shocked? Like, were your mom and dad like, oh my God, Lily's going through this? Or were they...
Yeah, a little bit, just because like we're quite a traditional family.
Yeah.
So like it's kind of like, once again, like because you can't see what's going on physically, it can be quite difficult to understand and comprehend. Yeah, but I'm like, thank God I did it, because I've always just kind of had the view, because I was coaching at a functional gym for a little bit, and I just remember a lady, she'd come in the morning and then she was back in the afternoon, and I was like, oh, like what are you doing back? And like prefacing that it's fine to train in the morning in Arvo, absolutely, but it was the fact that she said, oh, I had to come back because I just had too many banana muffins.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is ingrained in my brain. I'm like, no, I want to have a good relationship with food by the time I'm 50. I want to have dealt with all of this right now so then I can move on. And, you know, that's just in the past. That's just something that I've experienced. And like, you hear it all the time. People are like, they don't regret anything they've been through. And I don't regret what I've been through, because it's like, it just makes you so much stronger. And it is a part of your story.
Yeah.
And it's like, even like the run that I did on the weekend, it was like 78 kilometers over 48 hours.
As you do.
Just casually. But it's like, that was for me another like example to myself that like, you are capable of so much more.
Yeah.
Like you can do, like, I think a lot of us underestimate what we can do.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not until you put yourself in those situations where you're able to grow that you can actually prove that to yourself.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I've spoken heaps on the podcast, even we had M Formed, you know, M.
Oh, I love her. We go to the same gym.
Yeah. So she came in and we spoke a lot about just people that settle for their story. And like we said before, you know, this is just how I am. And whether it's like...
It's the victim mentality.
Yeah.
But it's like you actually don't get any benefit from being in it. You know, when you're just staying stuck, everyone's as a byproduct just moving forward because you're not progressing. So it's like, as a byproduct, you're actually just going backwards.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not just try and improve?
And if we think about your scenario, like even if you opened up to people and said like, you know, I've experienced this and whatever, you'd probably get a lot of love and support and sympathy. But that is only going to take you so far until you say like, I'm actually going to go to the psychologist. I'm going to go to the dietitian. Like if you opened up to your family and they, oh my God, Lily, we love you. We support you. We are here for you. We would give you anything you need. But then you're like, I'm not going to do anything about it. They'd probably say that to you again the next day. We love you. We support you. What do you need? No, I'm not doing anything about it. 10 years could go by if you don't actually decide to do something about it. All the love and support and everything in the world isn't going to actually change what's going on.
Yes. And over the past like 12 or 24 months, I've really come to realize that you can't save anyone. Like, you are the only person who can get shit done for you. Who can do, like, it's even a simple example is like someone that I know, I'm like, oh, come to the gym. But like, they just don't want to come. And it's like, you can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
Like that it's not your fault. It's not your responsibility. So it's like, okay, how can I make my life, not from a selfish point of view, but just like, once again, you only have control over what you're doing.
Yeah.
So just like.
Yeah. And like we said, you know, there's obviously so many things that make up an eating disorder or mental health or whatever. It's not as simple as discipline or choosing, or it's not that simple, but there has to be some element of responsibility, like.
Yes.
In some way.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, you can get into the science of it and like the chemical imbalances and whatever, but. Yeah, at the end of the day, for people, like I do know a couple of people who are on like antidepressants, and it's like, okay, well, instead of going straight for the medication, why don't you try go to the gym? Why don't you try and eat a little bit better? All of those external environment contributors that you can actually change
yeah.
before you go to that as like the last resort, because I can guarantee your life's going to be a lot better just by implementing those things.
Yeah. And even going on the medication and getting that help you need, but then being like, okay, what else can I actually do about this as well?
Yeah.
Like if
yeah.
I have like seeked that support and that external help, absolutely external help can serve you, but there has to be internal shit as well.
Mm.
Like we can't just get antidepressants and then sit on our ass to watch TV and hope they kick in.
Exactly that. Yeah. It's like if you're still just like coming home from work, watching Netflix every night, then scrolling on TikTok and you're like going through some mental health issues, no kidding, that's probably going to be the reason why.
Yeah, for sure. And like Shaq and I even spoke about this the other week with recovery, when people are like, my recovery is so shit. And it's like, well, what are you doing about it? Like there always has to be an element of like, okay, yeah, cool. There are external things that can help me with this, but also how can I help me?
Yes.
So I think you are such a like evidence of that. I love it. Where would you say you're at now with nutrition training? Do you still see psychologists, dietitians, any of those things? What's going on? Just tell us all. Just tell us where you're at.
Just be an open book. Come on.
Yeah.
So I think I stopped seeing the abs at the start of the year.
Yeah. And were you just like, I think I'm good? Like,
yeah. Pretty much. Like, I think it is still a great idea to continue to see a healthcare professional once you do feel as though you're good. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was just like, at this moment in time, like, I still may potentially have check-ins with her down the track. Absolutely. Who knows?
Yeah.
But for now, like, I am, like, really great, honestly. Like, just incredible people around me, going to a new gym, new workplace, like, just everything is just really... I'm not going to lie, I just go on pretty well right now.
Love it.
But I am off to Europe in 12 weeks. And it was interesting because one of the girls that I'm going with is doing like a bit of a Europe shred.
Yeah.
And I was kind of in two minds because I'm like, oh, like that could be a bit triggering for me if I try to do that. But then I'm going to be completely honest, I'd like to lose 5 kilos. But for me, actually saying I'd like to lose 5 kilos doesn't just mean, oh, I want to lose that amount of body fat. It actually means, okay, I want to make sure I'm eating the right amount of food. I want to make sure I'm getting the right amount of sleep, the right amount of water. Like that is actually just like the symbol as to what I'm actually doing
yep.
to get there. Yeah. Like I've decided, like at the moment I'm tracking and it's literally been 1 week and it's like, holy shit, you really feel like I feel like a feather. Like I feel on top of the world. Just from simply like doing all the right things.
Maybe 1 week's enough. Don't need 12. Tick that off. I'm done.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's so cool. And I think that's even interesting in itself. And one thing I speak about, like obviously with the work I do, we do a lot of like body composition and performance is the sort of the focus of nutrition. And I always come back to that point of like, there's no right or wrong. We don't have to be shredded. We don't have to be focusing on a goal. We just want to feel like we're in control and we could do that at any time. Like you want to be in a position where you're like, I think I'd actually feel great if I lose 5 kilos. And I feel like working towards that would be a positive experience. On the flip side, I want to go to Europe and not give a fuck about calories. And I feel like doing that would be a positive experience. Like feeling like you can take your nutrition, your training, your health, your body comp in any direction that you want to at any time. I feel like that's the real juice. Like we don't have to be shredded. We don't have to be tracking or not tracking or whatever. There's no rules, but it's like, are you feeling good about what you're doing?
And even the fact, like, I went out on the weekend, like, I went clubbing, hung out with friends, and, like, I was still, like, in a calorie deficit. Also, I got up and went for a 10K run the next morning. Like, you can do both. You don't always have to just be dieting or just be living your best life. Like, you can actually have the duality within it.
I was going to say, how's the duality? I love it.
I said I was enjoying life at the moment.
I love it. No, that's really cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also within like the body positivity movement, it's like it's actually okay if you want to change your body. Body positivity doesn't always necessarily have to be, okay, this is my body. I have to love it. It can be, okay, I love my body. I love myself, but I actually want to change the way I look. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like yeah. Once again, it's your body. It's your choice.
Yeah, yeah. I spoke about that. Like Soph actually came in and we did an episode just about fat loss and everything. And she was saying like the body positivity thing is great, but there's almost a level of shame if you do want to change your body,
mm.
which is just as shitty as you know, yeah. shaming people in the first place. Like,
and that's the thing. It's like, you're never going to please everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you're really not. And so at the end of the day, it really just comes back to what you want to do. Like, yeah. what is your actual goal?
Yeah. And that's one thing I speak to so much is like, I will never tell someone their goal. Like, you don't have to do a gaining phase. You don't have to shred. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to do anything. But you want to have enough education and understanding to never feel like you're a victim to those things. Like I said, if you do want to lose 5 kilos, you know how. If you do want to chill with your nutrition for a while, you're not like, fuck, I'm off track and I feel like shit. You yeah. feel like you're in control of it. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just having enough education, whether it's nutrition and training, like actual education, whether it's psychology and mental health work, whatever it is, to get you to a point where you're like, you don't feel like a victim to food and your health and your body comp and all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like the whole sphere of like wellness, like everything just really ties in. Like, for example, going to the gym in the morning, it's not just to burn calories. It's like, okay, I'm actually setting myself up for a great mindset for the rest of the day. Then, oh, I'll actually more likely want to eat healthier. Then I want to drink more water. Then I'll be happier, happy to talk to more people. Like, it just all intertwined at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost like that how we do anything is how we do everything kind yes. of vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's so cool. What would you say is – what's next for Lily Turton? Are you going to pursue the 5K thing before Europe? How are you feeling about that?
Yes. Well, I am. Mm-hmm. I definitely am. On week one and – well, past week one and absolutely loving it. And I think yeah. especially for me, like, I'm not going to disclose the number of calories because it's irrelevant, but like, it's still a high number because I'm so active.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally more than probably most people's like maintenance, but,
And do you feel like tracking can be such a beneficial thing for some people that have had eating disorders, and it can be such a triggering thing for others. So how, like, where does that fall for you?
For me, it is super beneficial. And I think that's yeah. one thing that actually really stunted my progression within overcoming the eating disorder, because I had just completely let go of tracking. Because you hear so often, you have to stop tracking if you've got an eating disorder, like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, that was my sense of control. So yeah. like, when I just fully eliminated it, it was really not helpful. Whether now I'm doing it, but it's not 7 days a week. Like, yeah. it's 5 days a week. And then, you know, gradually, well, hopefully when I come back from Europe, I just probably won't track. But, you know,
yeah.
if you are someone who is tracking in and trying to stop, it's like, maybe just go from 7, then the next week do 6, then 5. Like, just yeah. take it slow and steady, because there's no rush.
Yeah, for sure. And we do that so much in Eat Like Ruby. Like, if somebody gets to their goal and someone gets to the point where they're like, you know, maintenance, I'm happy to chill or whatever, I'll always have that convo with people. Like, how does tracking actually feel for you? Like, sometimes people are just like, I love nutrition, I love training, it's very much my lifestyle, track my food, weigh my food, like, it's such a good fit. And then you get those other people that are like, I'm actually happy to chill here, like, how do I transition away from this? And like you said, for some people, we do like untracked weekends. Sometimes we simply start with just going out for tea.
Yeah.
Just eat your normal food on Saturday and then go out for tea and don't track it. That simple. And then the next week, don't track 2 meals. And then the next week, don't track 2 days and whatever it might be. And some people even find that sweet spot where they'll do it forever. It's like, oh, I track my food Monday to Friday and I know my weekends are chilled. Maybe I track a little bit lower calories than I otherwise would during the week, knowing that my weekends are a little bit high cal and a good time. But that's the real thing, like, coming back to even what I said before. If that keeps you in a position where you feel good and you feel in control and you're happy with the outcome and the lifestyle, like, happy days. Absolutely. I think I hate when people say, like, anyone who tracks religiously is obsessive, or anyone who doesn't track is, you know, doesn't get it. And like you said, there is no one size fits all. And I just don't think we can say, like, you have to track 7 days or you have to never track. Like, there's no have to.
Oh, I just couldn't agree more. And I feel like it's such a great conversation that is coming up more. Like, just the fact that everyone is so different.
Yeah.
I am loving my running, and like, I just love pumping out that content as well, like, for socials, because it's crazy how many people I'm helping.
Yeah.
Like, the DMs I'm receiving, like, the views on TikTok and stuff. Like,
I'm just doing it for the views, guys.
Yeah, it's all for the views, guys. Absolutely. But just like, get like, seeing the comments, because I'm kind of at the moment just like preaching, it doesn't matter how fast you are, it doesn't matter how far you go, but it's like, just get moving. And like, yeah. if you do want to move further, just stop worrying about the pace and drop your ego and just go yeah. for it, which is just like really cool. Cause I feel like, you know, most people, not most, but some people probably hate running because when you were back in high school, it was like, okay, cross country, who can go the fastest? So that's all they associate running with.
But like, so true. I was like, yep, I'm fucking at the front. Let's go.
We're the same person. Yeah. But it's like, no, it actually can be really fun and like really enjoyable free therapy session. There you go.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, just like a great way to clear your head. Like there's just so many benefits to it and I love it. And it's like, well, why not share that passion with more people?
Yeah, for sure. And it's so funny you said that because the episode we did last week was literally about ditching the ego with training. Like,
oh, are really? You?
Yeah, just people that are, you know, pushing heavy weights or just not willing to scale things back and, you know, work on technique or work on anything at all. Just always having that ego be the driving force behind training. So it's really cool that you mentioned that. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I even remember the days I'd be like, oh, well, I can't go for a run because I don't feel like I'm going to be fast.
If I'm not winning, I'm not going.
Oh, classic.
That's so good. I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, and I feel like even regards to like social media and stuff, like just back to posting like health and fitness content, because like that's the stuff that I love. And
yeah.
Like, the stuff that I can tell other people love as well. And like you can even, I feel like you can probably tell that even I'm doing a lot better because even people are saying to me like, oh, you just like seem so much happier and like brighter, like all of those types of things, which is just like absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's so true. And that was one of the things that made me reach out to ask you to come on because I was like, Lily's killing it. Lily's in a good place. Let's get her on the potty. Because then I would see every now and then, like you do those reels about your story and your history and all that. And I'm like, where is this? Yeah, but that's actually the thing. Like I would look and be like, fuck, I, you know, just assume that you've always just been this happy, bright, healthy girl. And you probably have in some way, but it was interesting to see the story and then be like, you've obviously transcended a lot of things to be where you are now and just showing up, doing your runs, casual 78 Ks over the weekend. Like, it's really cool to see.
Yeah, thank you. No, that actually, honestly, means a lot. But, you know, if you want to do the 78 challenge next year, feel free, Roops.
Was that actually a thing? Like, what was that?
It's a David Goggins challenge.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, like, I'm pretty sure, like, there actually is a specific date for it. But, like, me and my friend were like, Dana, we're going to do it on this date because it suits us.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, yeah, honestly, so fun.
Fun. I think we've got different ideas of fun, Lily, but that's absolutely fine.
We can agree to disagree.
No, that's cool. I love it. Do you have any, like, things you want to say to the listeners? Any final notes? Anything at all?
Oh, I feel like we've just covered everything in this ep. But, yeah, like, just staying in your own lane, like, doing what works for you, not just to please others.
I think even what you said before about social media, like, you know, you're just posting the shit that you're actually doing and you're loving. I spoke about that a few weeks ago, like years ago. Remember social media was just like the Fitspo side of social media was like everyone was shredded. Everything is photoshopped.
Picture perfect.
Like almost like if you saw it now, you'd cringe.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, God, yeah.
Actually really lame. And I said on that episode, I think it was a solo episode, and I was just saying like if you're still in that position where your feed is full of those sort of things that are making you feel like shit or are unrelatable or whatever, like you've got to tidy that up because I almost feel like that side of the fitness industry is gone. And then I was like, is that just because I have chosen to follow certain things and not follow certain things or whatever? Like if I open my phone, I've got you running 78Ks or, you know, making Rocky Road or Lily's like ran 78Ks today, made Rocky Road the next day.
Balance is key.
No, but that's the thing. And, you know, I've got other people with big performance goals or business goals or whatever. And it's just like, what are you exposing yourself to? Like if you're even probably so off topic, but super important, I think a lot of people get in that mindset of like, social media is so poisonous. And I think it's the absolute opposite.
Like, it's what you choose to consume. Like,
yeah,
you're so right. Like so many people say that, like, oh, it's all fake. It's all this, it's all that. But it's like, no, it comes back to choice.
Yeah.
Who are you choosing to follow? Because that's probably why you're going to be leaving the platform feeling disheartened because you're choosing to follow people who aren't inspiring or motivating you.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny because we get so many listeners on the podcast. Obviously we got like you and I both have big following on Instagram, whatever. And people love what we do. And then people are like, oh, social media is so poisonous. And it's like, well, if social media was so shit, like, you wouldn't know us, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, you and I wouldn't know each other, we wouldn't be sitting here, I wouldn't even know Soph, who owns the studio. Like, how you, like you said, what you choose to use it for, what you choose to follow, what you choose to expose yourself to is such a game changer. Like, if I open my social media right now, it is all people I know or people that I'm inspired by in some way, whether it's business, training, nutrition, but it's never like, oh, I'll follow you because you've got a six pack and I'm trying to find out how to get a six pack.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And like, I have met like some, like actually most of my best friends on socials.
Yeah.
And like so many incredible opportunities. You just have no idea what it can bring you, especially if you are going in with the intention of, you know, let's look at positive things. But it's even like, you know, you can be following someone on social media and then the content that they're producing may not align with you, so you unfollow them. But it doesn't have to make it something personal. Like, you can unfollow them and then refollow them back.
Yeah.
Like, I think some people I've definitely overheard say, oh my God, they unfollowed me on Instagram or anything like that. And I certainly had that mentality a few years ago. Like, oh, do they not like me or something like that? But it's like, they might just not want to see what you're up to. And like, yeah, that's okay. You don't have to make it mean something more than it actually is.
Yeah. And I think that's such a good point, because I think even as like a business owner, and you've probably experienced this with the work you do, sometimes you have those phases where you're like, I want to take things in. I want to see what everyone's doing. I want, like, it inspires me. It motivates me. What are you up to? How can I use that in my business? Whatever. And then you like hit these points where you're like, I actually need to shut all of you off and focus on me and my business. If I see what people are doing, it's so funny. You could see someone launch something in their business, for example, and be so motivated. And then the next week you could be so activated and annoyed. Like, why the fuck would you launch that all?
Yeah, so triggered.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, that's where you've got to catch yourself and be like, okay, cool. Am I in a phase where I'm taking things in a really positive way and it is motivating and inspiring? Or is it setting me off? Am I disrupted by this? Is it, even if you're in a real creative state in your business is an example, but even if you're killing it with your nutrition and training, and then you're exposing yourself to like all of these other nutrition methods and training methods or whatever, and then you're in a state of like, fuck, I just killed it in the gym training legs, but then this person's saying don't train legs, and then I just had a high carb meal, and then that person's saying don't eat carbs, and it's like,
it can become confusing.
Yeah. And it's like, if what you're doing is actually working, like, work out, are you taking in things that are fueling that and inspiring that? Are they sending you into this spiral that and then you're like, who else can I look up to get the answer? And it becomes a really deep thing where it's like, you were actually, like you said, in your lane doing your thing, and yeah, you got pulled out of that. So I think it's really important to see, are you taking things in a positive way or maybe not?
And even like, collaborate over compete.
Like, ooh, love
that. Ooh, la la.
Ooh, TM that one.
But yeah, like, you know, it can be pretty easy to look at someone else's like body, for example, or how much money they're making or what food they're eating or what bag they have and be like, oh my God, they have that. Like, I don't have that. I'm not as good. Or like, oh my God, like, I wonder how she got that. Any type of thing like that. But it's like, oh my God, how can I celebrate that person?
Yeah.
Like, that is so cool what they're doing, and just be happy for them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, once again, we're different. So it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant what they're doing.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You may as well be happy for them and celebrate them than just try and drag them down. And
yeah,
negatively.
And I think that even comes back to what we said. Like, if you are seeing shit and there is jealousy and there is all those things like you're saying, that's something's where you've got to like catch yourself and be like, okay, cool. Do I need to stop taking this shit in and actually work out what's happening with me over here?
Because it's always going to be a reflection on you.
Yeah.
Like, whenever someone says something about you, it's a reflection on them. And when you think or say things about other people, it's a projection on you.
We're just like, I feel like we're taking this in such a different direction. Social media mindset coaching.
Yeah, we're actually doing shadow work right now, guys.
I love this. Any final notes for listeners, or do you want to tell them where they can find you? I feel like we kind of did that at the start, but yeah, give it a plug.
Oh, just Lily Turner with two N's. But thank you so much for having me on here today, Roops.
No worries. Do you want to plug your podcast?
Oh, yeah. Car Girl Chats. We'll be back for season two soon.
I love it. Car Girl Chats. And what do you talk about? Just anything and everything. Mindset.
Yeah, pretty much. A few different episodes. You know, I've had Soph, podcast studio owner here.
Yep.
Love to get you on, maybe.
Yeah, in the car. Do we actually come in? Do I sit in the passenger seat?
You can if you want.
Love it.
So good.
That's so good. Well, thank you so much for coming. I think this is just I think it's just cool to open up the convo. Like, I didn't want to sit here, like I said, and act like I've got all the answers on eating disorders, because it's actually not what I do. I think a lot of, like, some listeners might be able to relate, but even like we said, it can be a bit educational for people who are just throwing around those terms, binge eating or whatever, to be like, well, I'm actually not on that level. Like, it can just be informative, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Like, quite educational, just because, you know, it isn't spoken about. So sometimes you can just think, oh, like, me overeating is me having an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't know any better.
Yeah.
But like, when you know better, you can do better. Like, yeah, moving forward.
For sure. And I think just the underlying thing being like, get the help, like seek the help. And
yeah, just drop your ego. Like, if you need the help, go get it.
Yeah. And I think it's so cool, like I said, for you to sit here at 20 years old and you've like transcended a massive thing in your life. Like you said before, people can get into their 50s and still be dealing with that mentality. So it's such a credit to you to be like, I went through it so young and I did the thing so young. I love it.
Yeah, no, thanks, Rubes.
Yay. Well, thank you, Lily.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
The end.